Last time we began discussing the din of dam chimud and the takana de rabbanon that if a woman is tavua linase, then she has to count shivinakim because of a chashash of dam chimud, even if she doesn't see dam. And we discussed the various kulas that exist potentially for the period of tara for dam chimud as opposed to the regular period of tara. Although we noted that in most situations and contemporaneously, a woman who's a kala that has to go to the mikveh anyway is a kala, who's already a nida, so those kulas don't apply because she has to go to the mikveh as a nida. Unless we're talking about an older woman, a mislekes damim, where the only concern is that of dam chimud and not of actual dam nidas. However, this din of the period of shiva nikiyim, the tara process for a dam chimud, is relevant in the sense of when that needs to be timed prior to a wedding, in a way that is more specific than would have been the case if we're just concerned about the regular nidus. So, as we noted, the Gemara on Samach Vav had the din of Tavu Linase, and at first glance, you might have understood that Tavu Linase just means that at whatever point there is a colloquial marriage proposal, even if the wedding is going to happen a significant amount of time after that, she sits shiva nikiyim then, and she doesn't have to worry about a concern of dam chibud at any further point. So, a year from now, tavu linase, she has to sit shiva nikiyim, and then she doesn't have to worry again. However, Rishonim don't understand the way. There is a machlokes that we'll talk about now, but that doesn't seem to be anyone's position. So, the Rashba, for example, understands. The Rashba is in the sugi here in Samach Vav Amud Aleph, and the Rashba is in the Torah Sabayis as well. Again, Daf Hei Mivayis Daf Vav Amud Aleph in the traditional printing of the Torah Sabayis. So Rashba understood that the period of time where Tavu Linase takes effect is what he calls a Mishash Mitaknin LaTzarchei Chuppah, as a point that they begin making active preparations for the wedding. At the point that they begin making these preparations, then she is subject to experiencing dam chimud. So if she's going to get married 12 months later, they're not making the preparations for the chuppah 12 months in advance. At whatever point they make the preparations, that is when we're concerned about dam chimud. That's when she has to count shiva nikiyim. Again, remember, according to the Rashba, shiva nikiyim doesn't require bidikos, doesn't require hefek tara, doesn't require bidikos. So that's what the Taz explains here in Sivkat on Gimel, Vidas HaRashba, that even if it's not absolutely proximate to the time of the chuppah, there could be in theory that the period of hachanos for the chuppah may be a couple weeks before the chuppah, but that's the point of intense chimud. But we don't have to worry about more intense chimud as we get closer to the wedding. As the Ritva writes, the Ritva has the same general formulation as the Rashba. The Ritva writes over here, Samach Vav Amud Aleph Dibur Masko Amar Rava, V'ein Sarach L'Hachmir Yoser. You don't have to be more machmir than to be concerned about the Shiva Nekiyim or the Dam Chimud for 7 days from the time that you begin the Hachanas for the wedding. Sh'im Tomer Samach L'Diach Chavar Z'Mishamedes, because if you're going to be concerned that there is going to be further chimud right before Bi'er Rishona, right before Bi'as Mitzvah, which we'll see is the position of other Rishonim. So the Ritva says, if that's your concern, then imkein ein l'davar sof. Then there's no end to the concern that you have to have. Presumably what he means is that if you're going to be concerned that the chimud is going to keep on building up until the point of the chuppah or Bi'er Rishona, then you're going to have to do constant bidikos up to that very last moment. Now, I know why that's necessarily aim with Darvasov, so maybe in Achanami, maybe, as we'll see, Brother Rishonim, you do have to do more intense bidikos as you got closer to the wedding. But the Ritva's formulation is that if we're going to insist on that aim with Darvasov, rather, at the time that you begin the Achanus of the wedding, you count Shiva Nikiyim, and then you don't have to worry about bidikos after that.
Anyway. This might be a little nitpicky, but isn't the proposal itself the preparation for the wedding?
What do you mean?
Meaning, once she's proposed to and the entire thing happens, then wouldn't that be...
So the way the Rashba understands it, the proposal, whatever that is not what engenders the chimud, it's the actual preparation for the meal, or for the chuppah. There's a more intense preparation that happens closer to the wedding.
The physical preparation.
The physical preparation of the meal and everything that goes along with that.
Okay.
Right, and that's what engenders chuppah. That's what could engender dam chibud according to the formulation of the Rashba. Okay. Now the Rashba in the Mishmar Sabayis, right? The Rashba in the Torah Sabayis was responded to by the Ra'ah on one side of the margin, and then we generally assume, although not everyone agrees, that the Mishmar Sabayis was also written by the Rashba in response to the Ra'ah. So the Rashba writes in the Mishmar Sabayis, which is excerpted here in the Torah Sashlamim. Torah Sashlamim is Sif Katan Dalid. So he quotes in the Rashba in the Mishmar Sabayis, V'haminach shal Yisrael Torahi, u'b'chol mekomosenu, hinhigu lahachin su'uda v'simcha Shabbos shelifnei Shabbos nesu'in. That the practice was to prepare the meal for a week before the Shabbos of the wedding, meaning the Shabbos of the wedding would take place on Erev Shabbos, so they would prepare the meal for the wedding for a week before. V'zu mikri tviya, and that's what's considered tavua linase. U'mimenu monin lo shiva eila. So you count the 7 days. So if the chasen was going to take place on a Friday, they would begin preparing the meal a week in advance, and that week would correspond to the 7 days of Shivanakiyam for Tavua Linase. So even though in theory, from the Rashba and Kiddushim and Torah Sabayis, the preparations could take place even a week before, and the din would be the same, presumably, the Rashba records that in his time, the practice was that it actually would be limited to the week itself prior to the chasna. Okay. The Ramah's position la'alacha is as follows in Sif Beis. The Mechaber wrote, Shivas yamim halalu monin asam isha shehi sameches bedaita u'machina atzma l'chuppa. So we count the 7 days from the time that she resolves to get married and she makes the preparations. And the Ramah says, V'yesh lismach hatfila samach l'be'ilas mitzvah b'chol ma'ad efshar. That our practice is that you should make the tefillah as proximate as possible to the Be'ilas Mitzvah. And that is based on a Mordechai in Shavuos Siman Tav Shin Mem, and as well the Hagos Maimoni in Yisurei Bia Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Hei. Again, Mordechai Shavuos Tav Shin Mem, Hagos Maimoni Yisurei Bia Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Hei, both quoting from a Rashbam, that the Shivanakiyam of a Kala need to be proximate to the Ve'ilas Mitzvah because there is more of a concern of Dam Chima the closer you get to the wedding. And that's the position we saw last time reflected in the Rush here in the 10th parak of Nidna Simon Dalid, and it's the last line of that Simon of the Rush, that there is a more intense Chima the closer you get to the wedding. So as opposed to the Rashba, who said that whenever the Achonos are, you count 7 days, and you don't have to worry about more intense chima prior to the wedding. The Rush and the Rashbam, quoting the Mordechai and the Gos Maimoni, are of the opinion that you do, in fact, need to be concerned about more intense chima closer to the wedding, and therefore there should be as minimal delay as possible between the tefillah and the actual chuppah slash the rishona. Yeah.
Does that mean that, according to the Ramah, the tefillah should occur after the modern day chasana then?
No. The tefillah happens before the chasana. It should be as soon as possible before the chasana. Then the Ramah writes in the next line that our minag is, v'minag lipa l'kala l'el rivi, ava b'shalot tibal kodem motzei shatz. So he records the minag of going to the mikvah on Tuesday night, even though the wedding is going to take place on Friday, and the Be'ilas Mitzvah may not take place until Motzei Shabbos. Let's come back to this in a second. That's what the Ramah says our minhag is. In that goes Maimini that we just referenced, that quotes the Rashbam, that you need to have the tefillah as proximate as possible to the wedding. So the goes Maimini there quotes that if the Shivanakiyam end prior to the wedding, I mean, let's say you end the Shivanakiyam 3 or 4 days before the wedding, then you need to do bedikos for every day leading up to the wedding. Okay, that because we're concerned that the more intense chimut happens right before the wedding, so ideally you should, have the tefillah the day before the wedding, and if it's going to be any earlier, then you would need to do bedikos every day between the tefillah and the wedding to make sure that there is no dam chimut that comes out during that period. And 1 second, that is the position of Tosfos and Yuma as well. Tosfos and Yuma, Yuches Amidei, Diba Maskel, the Amar Rava, that there is a need for subsequent bedikos. Lashon Tosfos. V'chol osam shiva barka shachris v'arvis v'tavla v'lo nivala. So even if she goes through the period of bedikos for the 7 days and she was not yet nivala b'yirishona, asricha livdok v'chol yom v'yom, she still has to have bedikos every day. D'la olam ishatavu linasa ikal l'svukei dil mechazia machmas chimut ashiti b'ayl. That from the point of Tavuli Nasa until the B'yas Mitzvah, we're concerned about Dam Chimud, and therefore you'd have to do bedikos for all those intervening days. Shai.
Just a clarification on the Ramah,
yeah.
Yom Dalad. Is he referring to the wedding happening at Erev Shabbos, not on
Yeah, so let me, I quoted the Ramah because of Avi's question before I was going to get to it, so I'll explain the Ramah in a second. What the Ramah is saying, as far as the minhag that records, it's that bimei hatanayim, the practice was that b'sula nisei siyam harvi, right? So b'sula nisei siyam harvi, and the tefillah would be erev the chasana. But even though nowadays the more common practice in the time of the Ramah was to have chasana on erev Shabbos, nevertheless that original minhag of going to the mikvah erev yom harvi still held, and therefore even though the tefillah should be as proximate as possible to the wedding, the Ramah records a minhag of still delaying it for a few days because of the earlier minhag of going to the mikvah on Tuesday. So even if the wedding is going to be on Friday, and even if it sounds like the practice was that they wouldn't always do B'yas Mitzvah on Friday night, even though Nikar Adin, the Sugan Vina Ksubis, that's mutter, but apparently the practice, at least that the Ramah references, was that they would delay B'yas Mitzvah until Moshe Shabbos. So that is 4 days that would elapse between the tefillah and the Biyah Rishona, and that is all okay. That's subsumed within what the Ramah quotes as the minhag. Yeah.
How does that minhag relate to the minhag that the Shach quotes? They called minhag just at the reading 3 days after the wedding.
That's something else. So what the source of the minhag that the Shach quotes? I don't know. I don't know what it is. But apparently, independent of getting married on Friday, it wasn't because they were. What he quotes is not that they delay the B'yas Mitzvah from Friday night to Moshe Shabbos because of the concern of Dan Besulim. He quotes some other minhag that they would delay it for a few days. What that would, I mean, the Shach doesn't think it has any basis. So what the historical basis was, I have no idea. Okay. So bottom line, the Ramah says that La Halacha, we go with the position of the Rashbam, and that family of Rishonim, that the tefillas kala should be as proximate as possible to the Biyah Rishona, with the caveat that however this minhag developed, you have a window of 4 days. Okay. Now the Ramah writes, again, but minhag lipol akala leil rivi afapi shelo kibel kodem osei Shabbos aval eila harke katfila min adila yosem. He said you shouldn't wait more than 4 days. The in lo kibel b'mosei Shabbos, and if she's not going to have biyah rishona mosei Shabbos, meaning more than 4 days will elapse, yesh lo livdok atma b'chol yom ad b'ilas mitzvah. Then she should perform bedikos up until when she performs the b'ilas mitzvah. The dafka lechachila of abedi eved ema hachmir in bakar rakpam achas toch zay. So, Siddur Tar points out here in Sif Katan Ches that the mashmos of the Ramah is that if you're going to have the B'yas Mitzvah within 4 days of tefillah, then there's no need for subsequent bedikos. Right? Not like Tosfos. It's only if more than 4 days are going to last then you need to do vidikas. Yeah.
Does that mean she doesn't have to do vidika day 1, 2, 3, or 4, and only on day 5 she'd have to do vidika? Or she'd need to do vidika every single day, knowing that fear would only take place much later?
It sounds like she would only have to do vidika on day 5, because you have this window of 4 days. I think that's what it sounds like. Even though the Siddurei Torah points that out is the Pashas of the Ramah, there are Achronim that are Machmir. The Chachmas Adam, for example, in Simen Kuf Tesvav Os Gimel, the Chachmas Adam paskins that even within the 4 days she would have to do Bedik every day, meaning as long as there's any lapse between the day of Tefillah and the Es Mitzvah, she would have to perform a Bedik on every intervening day. And the Siddurei Torah there quotes that in the name of the Bach as well. Okay? So machlokes between the Pashas of the Ramah and some of the later Achronim who are more accurate to require Bedikos on the intervening days, even if that those days number fewer than 4. Yosef?
In Tosis, if she did that, she means Nikla, Tzvila?
Bedikos.
Bedikos. Right. And isn't the Chachmas Adam essentially like
Fosfos? Yes.
Oh, I mean, he's arguing
that I'm not saying
that
Pshat Ramah. He's not saying I don't think. I guess one could, but he's not saying that's Pshat Ramah. The Pasha Pshat Ramah is not that way. Could you catch it into him? I'm not sure. Maybe. What about if there's a lapse between the Bia Rishona and, or between the Chuk and the Bia Rishona? So the Badia Shulchan in Sifkat and Kafalev quotes from the Lechem V'Simla. I didn't see the Lechem V'Simla inside. But he quotes in the Lechem V'Simla that according to the Ramah, if there is a break between the Chuppah and the Bia Rishona, then you would need to do subsequent Bidikos between the chuppah and the bia rishona. I mean, he points out lashon harama is v'yesh lisma chatfila samach l'bilas mitzvah. The critical point is not the chuppah per se, but the bilas mitzvah. This goes back to the discussion we had last time. The taz mechavasas as to whether the ikur chimud is based on the status of nisuin, or is it more connected to the bia rishona? Which was a part of that discussion of the Taz and the Chavos Das about understanding the Maisa of Yehuda and Tamar. So,
time lapse means like
at least a day. I'm
sorry?
Time lapse, I think, means at least a day. Right. So according to the Lachem and Simla, if there's going to be a time lapse of a day, or over a day, between the Nisuin and the Bi Rishona, then you need to do Bedikos during that intervening period. Badi Yashulchan thinks that you should be machmer in this. Others are mako. And then finally, the Siddurei Torah here in Sifkat and Tes has another scenario. He thinks that if you have, the Ramah says, again, the Ramah says that if there are more than 4 days that elapse between the Tefillah and the Virishon, you need to do Bedikas. But the Ramah says that's only l'chachila, but b'di'evit, as long as you did b'dikos during the 7 days, if you didn't do b'dikos during the intervening period between the tefillah and the b'yirishona, it's not ma'akev. But the Siddurei Torah suggests if there are 7 days that elapse between the tefillah and b'yis mitzvah, then that might totally offset the whole calculation, and you would have to start counting shivanakiyim again, even b'di'eved, because there we would be choshesh l'chimud. That's the Siddurei Torah suggestion, sifkatan tes. To the extent that that would ever happen, I mean, Rabbi Willig has indicated that there may be grounds to be makel, even on that shayla, although in the printed svarim, I think the orientation is to be machmir, like what the Siddurei Torah says. Avi.
This is irrespective of if she was doing any
bedikos
during that time?
If you didn't do any bedikos. The Ramah says that lichachila, you should do bedikos during the intervening period if it's more than 4 days. b'di'evet is not makiv. The Siddur Torah says that if 7 days intervene, then it's makiv even b'di'evet. Okay. The Taz here in Sif Katan Vav. Let's start with the Mechaber. The Mechaber writes in Sif Gimel, in Dachu and Esu and Machmas Eza Siva, so for whatever reason they push off the Chasana, Alpha Pisha Yashva Shiva Nekiyim, even though she counted her Shiva Nekiyim, Tzricha Lachsa Relationship Shiva Nekiyim, Velitbo, Kisha Yispashu Lachsa and Esu. So for whatever reason they called off the wedding, so if they call the wedding back on, so now we're concerned about a new period of Chimud, and she's going to have to do the whole Tara process once more. So the Taz here in Sivkat and Vav, and the Shach in Sivkat and Vav as well, discuss where you draw the line in these situations of a called off wedding. So let's say the chasen is temporarily called off because the husband raises certain financial concerns that haven't been properly addressed. But from the wife's perspective, the wedding is still on, and they'll work out the issues. So the Tazmat Shach quote from the Levush that even in that case, you have to restart the clock of Shiva Nekiyim. And they argue and say no, that the only time you have to restart the clock is if, number one, the day was called off, and number two, it was a mutual decision. Meaning it's by consent of both parties that the chasen is not going to be on this date, and they didn't set a new date at the same time that they push off today's date. But if it's not by mutual consent, if let's say the kala still hopes that they'll work things out today, so then that doesn't, and then they end up working things out, so that doesn't restart the clock on Shiva Nekiyim. Right, that's like the famous Chuvas HaRamah about the chasen that he did Ben Hashmashas on Friday night, where the reason the wedding was delayed was because of a sifsach about the Nidunya, and the Ramah thought that if he didn't do the chasana now, it never happened because the chasan side would bolt, so he was able to convince them to go ahead with the wedding, and by the time they finished the negotiation, it was already Ben Hashmashas, so Ramah was makel to be Misad HaKadusha Ben Hashmashas on Friday night. That's the famous Chuvas HaRamah reflected in the Ramah's Hagah in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim as well, which is like this famous the story of the Marasham, that the Marasham, before he was a Rav in Brzezun, was a Rav in Bialystok. And there were two things that the Marasham did in close succession, one week after another, that got the Balabatim upset. The first was that he was Mesader Kedushin for a Chasen of Ben Hashmashas Friday night, same kind of a situation where there was a Sifsuch about the Nidunya, and he finally got the sides to come to an agreement, and by then there was a very Peshkia. And he was worried that if they don't do the chasana now, it's not going to happen. So he was Mesader Kedushin Ben Hashmashas Friday night. And the Baal Batim were all upset about that. And then soon after, I don't remember which one came first, either right before or right after, he was Mesader Aget Balayla. So we generally assume that Aget doesn't require a Bezdin, and Me'ikar Adin, you could be Mesader Aget Balayla, even though Lechachila we try not to. But the common practice was to do Gittin Bayom, and there were extenuating circumstances where the Marasham had to do a Gat B'Layla, and the Baal HaBatim are upset about that also. So the Marasham remarked that you saw two Mila Ditmias, and soon you're going to see a third. And unbeknownst to the Marasham, the next day he got a Ksav Rabbanus from Brzezun, and he took that as a Simon Min HaShemayim, that it was time to leave the Alistak because the Baal HaBatim had enough of him. And to their disappointment, he accepted the Ksav Rabbanus to Brzezun, and the rest is history. So those are these kinds of situations that the Nosek Halim here discuss, where there's a sifsuch, but both sides haven't given up on the chasana taking place. So as long as the kala side doesn't give up, the shach and the tas thing against the levush, that doesn't restart the clock in Shiva Nekiyim. The tas also has a case of where the husband is late to his own wedding. Nowadays that doesn't happen so much, or if it does, it's a pretty bad sign. But b'yamin kamonim, it was more common, or at least it could happen. Travel was not as easy. So in a case where the chasan doesn't make it at the appointed time for the wedding, but he sends a messenger apologizing that he was stuck in traffic, he couldn't make it on the roads. So then that's the question as to whether that creates a new chimur. So the Taz thinks that does create a new chimur, because Kala Drachim Echeska Sakana, and the fact that the husband hasn't come yet may be an indication that he's never going to come, even though he sent the apologies. And the Shachos and the Masas Binyamin, Sivkat and Zayin, that no, that's an onus. And as long as the woman has a sufficient amasa to explain the onus why the husband isn't coming, then she doesn't have to start the clock again on the Shivanakim for Dam Chimut, because she really believes that he is coming and it was due to circumstances beyond his control that he hasn't yet arrived. The Badi Yashulcha on page Reish Lamed Ches thinks that that's the consensus of Poskim like the Shach, that even if the husband's going to be late for the wedding, but there is a clear understanding that it was due to circumstances beyond his control, that doesn't restart the clock for Dam Chimut. Nevertheless, the Torah HaShlamim here in Sivkat and Hay and the Chachma Sadam and the Sidrei Tara think that in that kind of a case, she should still do another Bidika when the Shliach comes to say that the husband's really on his way, in case that news, the message from the husband's Shliach, may have invoked a new Chimut. So you don't have to go through the whole process of Shivanakiyam, but at least you would need to do a single Bidika at the point that you hear the news, which is like that position of the Raviyah that we mentioned last time, that it's sufficient to do a single bedika for Dam Chimut, and if you're going to get married right away, you don't need Shivanakiyam. Okay. So that brings us to Sif Dalid, which is the din of Chupas Nida. I guess we'll start. We're not going to have enough time to finish. So what emerges from the din here in Shulchan Aruch is that if a woman doesn't count the Shivanakiyam for Dam Chimur and then gets married nevertheless, then her status as far as her husband is concerned is equivalent to that of a Chupas Nida. When it comes to a Chupas Nida, the Gemara tells us in Ksubas and Daf Dalet, similar to the situation of Meis Aviv Shel Chasen V'Imo Shel Kala, where the Gemara says that you're bo vilas mitzvah, and then for the 7 days of Avelus, hu yashen bein hanashim, hi yashena bein hanashim. So that din, the Gemara says, also applies to a chupas nida. That if a woman gets married when she's a nida, then the nesuah takes place when she's a nida. So then the din is, hu yashen bein hanashim, hi yashena bein hanashim. There is an isur yichin in that situation we'll have to discuss. How and if the parameters of that Isser Yichud are different than a classic Isser Yichud. But nowadays, instances of Chupas Nida are generally less common than they used to be. It used to be the only way to avoid a Chupas Nida was to do the math based on a cycle and hope that there won't be any anything that interferes with the normal cycle. And nowadays, many Kalas take some kind of birth control pill that regulates the cycle in advance of the chasana so that you can more comfortably plan when the chasana is going to take place and to avoid a potential pitfall of chupas nida. But it still could happen. Nothing is foolproof, so these things are still on the books and may sometimes happen. Yeah.
Irrespective of whatever you said last time, the fact that this man is an old Russian architect, males,
right?
Right. If a woman's on the pill before the chasana,
right,
that preclude dam chimur or dam chimur?
No, dam chimur. Well, she has to go to the mikveh anyway as anida. But that were that dam chimur. Even regular dam, if a person's on a pill, there are many ways that it's not foolproof. So yeah, that would not be a calculation. Okay. So Gemara says the Gemara's formulation is hu yashin bein anashim hi yashena bein anashim. What does that mean? So the Ravid in Shara HaPrisha, Siman Aleph, the very end of Siman Aleph in the Rabbi Buchwald edition, it's Os Kaf Aleph Kaf Beis. I don't think in the standard edition it has Osios. But in the end of Siman Aleph of Shara HaPrisha, the Ravid writes as follows. Midika Amar Bein Hanashim Bein Hanashim Mashma Shetzarach Lios Beveis Hanashim Bebayis. Sorry, okay. Midika Amar Bein Hanashim Bein Hanashim. Right, the Gemara could have just said there's an Isser Yichud. So why does it say this funny language of Bein Ha'anashim and Bein Ha'anashim? Mashmash Yitzarech Lios Bebayis Anashim V'Nashim. So you need both men and women together with the Chasim and Kala. Zulasiya Chasim V'Kala. Umiyut Anashim Shnayim, Umiyut Nashim Shnayim. So you need a minimum of two men and a minimum of two women. As opposed to regular Isra Yichud that could be obviated by a single Shomer. When it comes to the Isra Yichud for a Chasim V'Kala who are experiencing or just experienced a Chuppas Nida, so then you require an added level of Shmira, Anashim Shnayim, V'Nashim Shnayim. Right, even though in general there's no Isra Yichud for a man who's married to his wife and his wife becomes a Nida, there's no Isra Yichud. When it comes to Chasim V'Kala who never had Birishonah, haven't yet had Birishonah, so then we're concerned about Yitzro Tokfo and more Machmir on this kind of Yichud. So that is the Chumra according to the Ravid of the Isra Yichud by Chuppas Nida. But then the Ravid has a kula as well that the Isser Yichud is only relevant balayla. And there's no Isser Yichud between the Chasim Kala Bayom. The Isser Yichud is limited to nighttime. Where did the Ravid get this from? So the Bach writes that the Ravid was Medai from Lashon Gemara. Hu Yashin Bein Hanashim, Hi Yashin Bein Hanashim. The Gemara is emphasizing, the formulation is based on nighttime. What are the sleeping arrangements? So if the Isra Yichud applied Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, the Gemara shouldn't have formulated it in terms of the sleeping arrangements. But the Gemara's emphasis on Hu Yashin Bein Hanashim, Hi Yashin Bein Hanashim is an indication that the Isra only applies Balayla and not Bayom. And the Asagos of the Baal Amor on the Ravid during Bali Nefesh, the Baal Amor argues, he says the Isra applies Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. After all, the Yetzer Hara is not only Sholeit Balayla, the Yetzer Hara is Sholeit Bayom as well. So the Yetzer Hara is on the job 24/7. So we're not only concerned about Yetzer Tofo at night, we're concerned about Yetzer Tofo in the daytime as well. So there's no Kula Bayom. That's the Baal Amor Hasaga on the right. Okay. The Rush in two places. The Rush in Moed Katan, Parag Gimel, Sibin Lamed Vav, which is in the Avelis context, and the Rush in Ksubis, I think it's Simon Tess in the first Parag. The Rush argues on both points of the Ravid. The Rush assumes that the Isser Yichud for Chuppas Nida applies Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, as we just saw in the Baal Amor. So the Rush argues on the Ravid's Kula. And the Rush also argues on the Ravid's Chumra. The Ma'od Hiflag Achacha Mahachmir Balayla Lahatr Shte Shmiros, the Hiflag Lahakel Bayom Lahatr Yichud, etc. And he says, not true. The level of Shmira that you require for a Chuppas Nida is the same as the level of Shmira that you require for any other situation of Yichud, and a single Shomer would be sufficient. Okay, what does the Rambam hold? You know, the Rambam is so same. The Rambam Perakat Beis Isuridia Halacha Aleph. Also, let's yachid him erva min harayas bein zekena bein yaldo. Etc. The chasan shepirsa ishta nida kodim shiyivol asa with yachid ima elahi yishena bein ha'anashim hu yashin bein ha'anashim vim ba alev yirishon av achigach nitmeiz mutu with yachid ima. So the Rambam just quotes Lashon Gemara with no indication of any of the qualifications of the Ravid. So mistimos lashono, it sounds like it's knowing bein bayom, bein balayla, and the parameters of shmira are the same as they would be for other situations. So what do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? So the Gemara writes, Yesh omim shasur liyachid imo bayom kumo balayla. The answer applies both by day and by night. V'ein tzarech liyos shtei shmiras ra'aku bein anashim ohi bein anashim. So it's sufficient to have either a shmir in either direction, but you don't need two shmiros. V'yesh omrim d'balayla tzarech shtei shmiros u'bayol motu l'siyaki. That's a raivet. V'yesh omrim were more machmir at night, and there's no iser by yom. V'minag likach kata and esel al-chasen u'tana esel al-kala v'ein misyachtim v'yom v'lo-kata v'tana. So the minag is to only require one shmira, but we're machmir bein bayom ubein balayla. Okay, so we have to stop here. We'll continue Mirsa Hashem next time with further details of the Ramah's Pesach. We have to figure out what next time is. I'm unable to give a chabur on Thursday. There was a request to not give a chabur next Monday to give you a full week for Chazara. So I am going to try Bli Neder to give a chabur this Wednesday instead of Thursday, but I won't be able to confirm the time until tomorrow. So tentatively, we're going to try for Wednesday at some point, and just continue with the Mar Mekomas I sent you on Chuppas Nida, and I will perhaps send you a little bit more, and it will probably end this unit after Chuppas Nida, and then you can have time for Chazar.